Thank you, Jeanette, for that great song. And I know she's trying to sing. Brother Shamsie's practicing guitar over there, and so welcome to Calvary Baptist Church. I'm so glad you're here. I hope you're enjoying the Christmas season. I'm excited about next weekend and Christmas Eve service. I hope you'll make sure and come to one or both of those and invite some family or friends. And let's just ask God to do some great things. We're going to have a wonderful service. We'll keep you real long. We know it's a holiday. We know it's, you know, Christmas Eve, getting ready for the next day. But we hope you'll make sure and come and be a part of that celebration as we honor the Lord and the Savior for coming. Also want to say thank you for donating to the coat drive. There's a lot of, I know there's a lot of coats are coming in. That's a blessing. And we're going to be kind of cooperating with the fire department. And they're going to go into the community, and they distribute those through the schools where there's needy and other things. So that's tremendous. So we're going to be running that all the way through next Sunday. So if you haven't had a chance and you'd like to be a part of that, keep that in mind. Because, you know, during Christmas, you always think of giving. I mean, that seems to be just the theme, you know, gifts and giving. And we're in a current series entitled Gifts, the Unlikely and the Unexpected Gifts. And, you know, when I think of those gifts that come along the way from God, sometimes they're the unexpected things that God sends along the way. The first week we learned that the gift of giving is a gift in itself as we give. And then the second week we learned the fact that sometimes God sends the gift of interruption along to interrupt where we are, to bring us to, or to invite us to something greater he wants to do in our life. And today, I want to speak on the subject, the gift of a fulfilled promise. You know, there's something in my life that I just don't like, and that is I don't like to wait. I don't like waiting at a stoplight, especially behind someone who is accelerator challenged. I don't like waiting in lines, like at the grocery checkout, especially when you're hungry. I don't like making a phone call and being put on hold. You know, I don't like waiting in those ridiculous lines in the DMV to hand in a simple form. Or, nor do I like to wait in line when I deal with things like the pharmacy. I hate waiting in a pharmaceutical line. And I especially hate to wait in line to use the bathroom. Let me ask you this. How good are you at waiting? Do you like to wait? Maybe you're like me and you just say, you know, I don't know about that waiting stuff. But you know, waiting is one of the hardest places to be in the Christian life. Yet we are told to wait. We're told to wait. Waiting to me seems like a punishment. But could it be a gift from God? Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 1. And we're introduced in this chapter, in the opening verses, of a godly man by the name of Zacharias. His wife, who is a godly woman, her name is Elizabeth. In verses 5 and 6, we're introduced to them, and they are now up in years. They had no child, and they wanted desperately to have children. They wanted to have a son. We learn in the passage that when Zacharias went to the temple, that God had sent Gabriel to make an announcement that he and his wife would be with child. And they were older in years to bear a son. Now I want you to think for a minute here. Zacharias, for him, his life was about waiting. That's what it was. It was characterized by waiting. And so now God's going to give him a child in their older years. And after Gabriel made the announcement, For 9 months, Zacharias could not speak. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, Mary is now told that she's to have a child. But by the way, this child was not just any child. This was the Savior of the world. And now, as we look into these verses, we have to understand something about Zacharias. You see, Zacharias had waited his entire life for the coming of the Savior. He wanted to see the Messiah, Jesus, who was to come. And so he was so excited that Jesus was coming. And soon Elizabeth bore their child. And when he did, he named him John, as he was commanded by God. And immediately after that, God loosed his tongue and he began to speak. But what did he speak about? I mean, what was he going to say after not being able to speak for 9 months? What was he about to say? Well, if we look in this passage, we're going to see that the excitement he had, not that the child that he himself, that he and Elizabeth had, was not significant, but he celebrated the child Jesus that was to come. Look at verse 67 in this chapter as we open it up, and I want you to notice what the scripture says. The Bible says, "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, 'Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he visited and redeemed his people and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David.'" Now, this horn of salvation refers to the horn that goes back in the Old Testament, the announcement of something official and important. And the Bible goes on to say in verse 70, "As he spake by the mouth of the prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of them who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant." To perform the mercy promised to our fathers. There's a promise here that God is going to give that promise. And this promise was from God for the people of Israel. In verse 73, the Bible says, "The oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life." As a Jewish priest, Zacharias was very familiar with the prophecy of the coming Messiah, of Jesus who was to come. He knew those prophecies, and he was waiting all his life. In fact, he was waiting for God's promise to be fulfilled. This is not an uncommon thing for the nation of Israel. It's built within the very fabric of that nation. They've lived on promises. They've lived on the fact that something was going to happen. And they've learned to wait. That's been a part of what they are. And Zacharias has been waiting. Now the Messiah is to come. But have you ever noticed that Christian life is a lot about waiting? I mean, when we talk about waiting, it's just the way God works. For example, Noah waited 120 years before he got onto the ark that he built and the flood came. Abraham waited 25 years before the birth of Isaac. Jacob waited 20 years for Rachel. Moses waited 40 years to see the promised land. David waited 12 years to occupy the throne. And Jesus waited 33 years before he went to the cross. Waiting is a part of life. Waiting is a part of God's working in our life. Zacharias knew that God had made promises. And they go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. For example, in the Garden of Eden, he knew this verse, and here's what it said. He said, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." This is a prophecy of Jesus that would soon come, that one day would come. And he knew about that all the way back to the beginning. He knew about the promise of Abraham. He also knew about the prophecy that was given in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, 700 years earlier than the time we're reading about here. But the Bible says, "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel." God had told him to wait and rest in the promises of God. But waiting, wow, that's difficult. That's almost overwhelming to think about, that we have to wait. But what if God did some of his greatest work during the time of waiting, when it seems as though he's not working at all? I mean, what if God was actually giving us a gift of waiting rather than a problem of waiting? What if God were to do that? How many of you have a particular gift or something that for you that you want for Christmas this year? How many of you have something like that? All right, I have a gift I want to give to you. Okay, and if you want to come and get it, you can line up after the service and I'll be sure and hand it to you. Here's the gift: wait. And I wonder how many of you would say, "You know what? Sign me up, man. I'm willing to wait. That's what I want. I want waiting." Now, I dare say that probably most of us will say, "Now, of all the gifts, that's the one I don't want." I just talked to somebody recently this week, and they were telling me, they said, I pray, and when I'm praying, I'm careful to not pray this, "Dear God, give me patience." Because I have to wait. You might say, "Well, you know, if you're going to give out gifts, then give me something like joy or happiness or peace or contentment or acceptance, or love." Certainly not waiting. But do you realize that in waiting, God teaches us some very important truths? And we learned those from Zacharias. Let me introduce you to one truth, and here's what it is. To us, waiting is wasting, but to God, waiting is working. I mean, sometimes we look at it and say, "You know what, it seems like that when I'm waiting, I'm just wasting time." I know that when I go to the DMV, like I was thinking about the DMV, and I'm not picking on them. Chuck, I'm sorry. I know that's your retirement. But I know when I go there, it seems like, man, I got so much to do. I'm sitting there for 4 hours or 3 hours to get in line, you know, and they get a number. And I always have the number that seems like is the one that takes the longest to get there. Like me, I could pick a line. It could be the shortest grocery store line, but it's the one that takes the longest because I got to do 3 price checks for the person in front of me. You know what I'm talking about? It's just the way it is. Or someone pulls out and they have 25 coupons, none of which, "Oh, that's expired. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay." And and everybody over the other line are walking by, "Hey, it's good to see you again," you know. And I'm like, I want to get out of here, right? But the fact is, when you think about this, sitting there waiting seems like we're wasting time. Because we like activity. We like to be busy about things. And we feel like that, you know what, we're not going to be here real long. Our life is just about a vapor. It appeared for a little time. We're going to vanish away. And so we got to get everything we can get while we're here. And man, we got to get busy about things. Zacharias had to wait 9 months before he could speak. What was he thinking about for 9 months? I mean, what would have been the first words out of his mouth? If you think about it, he had to wait. Now, here's a man that he's waiting on the Messiah, Jesus, to come, the Savior. He studied the prophecies. He studied all of those things. He studied the Torah. He knew those things. He had to wait. Then he had to wait for a child, a son that he wanted to give to God. He had to wait all that time. And while he's trying to wait on all that time, he's now, the Bible says, here it is. He has to wait 9 months before he can speak. I mean, his life is about waiting. But have you ever thought of it this way? God often works in our lives during the waiting time. That's the way God works. We're even told to wait in the scriptures. The Bible says it this way, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. The Bible even indicates that God himself waited. And boy, I'm so thankful that God waits. Amen. Think about it. He waited for Adam and Eve after they sinned for them to respond to him. He waited for Noah to build the ark. He waited for Israel numerous times in the Old Testament to repent and get right with God. And not only that, but he's waited many times for us as well. So for us, when we examine this idea of waiting, we understand that God certainly is one who waits. In fact, notice what the scripture says. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, Zacharias knew about waiting. And here's a thought that God gave me about Zacharias. I want you to consider this. Our willingness to wait reveals the value we place on what we're waiting for. He knew that as he was waiting, that what he waited for was some of the most valuable things in his life. And sometimes in our waiting, these values that we learn, the value of waiting on God, helps us to better focus our attention on what God is doing in our life. For him, there were three values I find here very quickly, and don't want to belabor these points, but number one, he learned the power of salvation. I mean, the power of salvation. He learned the need for mercy. He learned the reliability of God's promises, all wrapped up into that waiting period of waiting on God. You see, the power of salvation, of course, the Bible said it was the horn of salvation. This means that this was an official announcement that this authority that God has now sent his son as the Savior of the world. He's not one of, he is the Savior of the world. And the need for mercy, because honestly, none of us can earn God's favor. We need the mercy of God. And he realized that. And sometimes we're tempted to think, you know, I don't deserve God's forgiveness. And the truth is, you don't need to deserve God's forgiveness. You don't earn it. You can't get it. The only way we have it is the mercy of God through God's grace. And Zacharias realized that. And he realized the reliability of God's promise because he sees what God has done. But we learned that truth. The truth that God works while we're waiting. Here's the second truth that he learned, that God teaches us during our waiting. Richard Hendricks made an amazing statement. Here's what he said. He said, second only to suffering, waiting may be the greatest teacher and trainer in godliness, maturity, and genuine spirituality most of us will ever encounter. I mean, what if waiting was a gift from God? Remember, when I was a teenager, I was working for my dad, and I wanted to go to a special church service. And I worked till 5 o'clock. The service was at 7, and it was still like an hour away. And I got off late, and I was trying to hurry to get there. And I wanted to get there on, you know, and just enjoy the service. One of my friends was singing. I want to be there and support him. And so I remember I took off, and on my way, I thought about, hey, there's a shortcut. You guys know where this is going already, don't you? There's a shortcut. And so I thought I'd go take a shortcut. So I took the shortcut, you know, saved me about 15 minutes or so, maybe 10 or 15 minutes. So I was really excited. I took the shortcut until I came to the train crossing. It was one of those kind where, you know, you pull up and there's cars behind you and cars in front of you and you can't get out. It's a train stop there. But this wasn't one of the, just the, you know, the train that's crossing the track. This was the train that was loading cars. You know what I'm talking about? Back and forth. Back and forth. You know, and there's one guy that hangs off the back. You know, he's kind of hanging out. You see him going like this to the conductor or whoever. And they're going back and forth. And I'm like, oh, man, this is like 20 minutes. Now I'm going to be 30 to 40 minutes late. And I did. I got there late. My friend had already sung. Service already started. Man, I was so disappointed. I mean, really, I had to wait. God, why? I mean, this is service. But I had to wait. I didn't realize it. And sometimes when you have to wait, you don't always realize or know why you have to wait. But maybe this was it. The next morning, I read in the paper that that same night, the exact same time, there was a fatal accident at the exact same place I would have been as I was driving to go to that service. It was a terrible accident. Several people were killed. I could have been right in the middle of it. Maybe God made me late, made me wait, so that I could be here standing before you today. Maybe. That's what God was doing. Waiting. We don't like it. Maybe God might be making you wait for things in your life to teach you something. There might be someone here who's a single person waiting to see who God would bring along the way, and it seems they never come. There may be a childless couple who is praying for God to give them a child, yet their prayers are unanswered. Someone may be praying about a job or a career in the community, or maybe in a more fulfilling, do something more fulfilling than they're doing, but it just doesn't seem to ever come. There might be someone whose life is in constant turmoil, and all they're waiting for is just a little bit of peace. There might be someone who's deeply depressed, you know, waking up each morning and just hoping that today will be the day that they're going to actually feel like living another day. But it seems like it never comes. There might be someone who is waiting for a spouse in a struggling marriage, which seems unable to change. There may be even someone who's waiting for relief of the pain they're suffering from, maybe an accident or illness that's out of their control, and they're just waiting, wanting some relief, and it seems it never comes. While waiting is difficult, God still wants us to wait on Him. It's during the time that God may be giving us the very best gift, the gift of waiting. Often during those times, we realize the greatness of God while we're waiting. The Bible says it like this: wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Sometimes it's during that waiting period is when God does His greatest strengthening in your life. But then there's a third truth I want to share with you, and that's this. It is during the waiting time when God shows you His fullness. I found out that when I am the weakest, that's when I see the strength of God the most. It's when I'm out of control and I can't do it and I can't control things and I can't fix things and I can't change things, that's when I see how strong God really is. And maybe you're here waiting, and that's where you are, and you're saying, I don't understand. How can I do this? How can I deal with this? And here's what God says to us. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Because God wants us to realize how big he is. You see, in the silence of waiting, we realize who we are and how big God really is. I have a question for you. I want you to think for a minute. In what area is God having you to wait in your life? What area? I mean, you may be like me and think, wait a minute, you know, Pastor, this is not kidding. I don't like this gift. I don't like this. This is not what I want. I'm not really into the waiting part. You know, I'm kind of I'm type A personality. Let's go get it. Let's do it. But what area is God waiting? I would venture to say in this room, all of us have areas we're waiting on God in. There's something we're waiting on God in. And the truth is that in that time when God is having us wait, that God is growing us spiritually, that God's developing our spiritual character, that God is working in our life in such a way that he can shape and mold us into the person that he wants us to be, and we can draw closer to him during that time of waiting. It's the instrument that God uses. It's that which God chooses to work in our life. Here's my question. Will you ask God to grow you during this time of waiting? Something I learned in Zacharias' life, when you read the chapter, you find that as it opens up, that Zacharias, that he had grown in his confidence in God. He believed in God. He believed strongly in God. It grew him during that time of waiting on God. Now here's the real challenge. This is the hard, this is the sticky part. Will you continue to worship during this time of waiting? That's the sticky part. Because here's what happens. We're all tempted. We're all tempted to say, well, you know what? God's not doing anything, and he's not doing anything for me. I guess I just might as well just give up. You know, I just might as well stop going to church or stop reading my Bible, stop praying, because it doesn't do any good. Nothing seems to happen. Let me tell you this. God's doing something that you may never see. He's doing his greatest work while you are waiting. And let me tell you this. Don't give up. Don't quit on God. Don't stop reading your Bible. Don't stop praying. Don't stop going to church. Don't stop serving God. Because that's when God is doing his greatest work. That's his gift to you. The gift of waiting. Maybe for some of you this morning, you might be here and say, you know, I've been kind of waiting for things to change in my life. I'm just hoping things are going to get better. You know, it's just, man, it's just been so difficult. And man, I have so much inner turmoil and I don't know what I can do. I need a change and I just don't know where it's going to come from. And I don't have any peace in my heart. Let me tell you, you need real hope. The change doesn't happen externally from out here in the world. It's not a different job, different place, different location. That change happens in the heart when Jesus comes. When you call upon Jesus and ask him to be your Savior, when you say to him, dear Lord, I need true hope. I need real hope. I need something that's going to change my life. I need something that's going to have meaning to me. When we call upon Jesus, he can change our life. God would say to you that you can call upon him today. By the way, God promises that he'll forgive and accept you right where you are. Will you ask him to be your Savior today? Waiting is a gift. It's the gift of a fulfilled promise. Let's pray. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe there's someone that God is speaking to today.